Hi everyone, Alex here with a quick word from our newest sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is your one-stop shop for tickets for everything from live theater and concerts to sporting events like Rays games. SeatGeek uses a color-coded scale to show you where the best deals are, with green being good and red being bad. If you haven't used SeatGeek before, we have a special deal just for you. Use code RAISETHEROOF, that's RAISE spelled R-A-Y-S, at checkout for $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. Again, that's code RAISETHEROOF for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Thanks so much to SeatGeek for sponsoring us, and let's get back to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. It's time to raise the roof for our latest spring training episode. Welcome back, everyone, to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. I'm your host, Alex Murphy. With me, as always, is my co-host, Evan Gibson. Gibby, how we doing?
We're doing pretty good.
New intro because I think this is better, honestly.
Honestly.
Our other co-host, Evan Lynch, is not on today, but we do have a special guest who has been on the pod a number of times, contributed to Raise the Roof, Elijah Flewellen. E, how we doing?
I'm doing good, fellas. Thanks for having me.
What have you been up to? What have you been doing? Anything interesting? Anything baseball related, Breeze related, anything like that?
We got MLB The Show dropping next Friday. I'll be live on Twitch.
Yo.
It's a good vibe. Are you
which one is this one? 24?
Mm-hmm. 24,
yeah.
Is on the cover.
Anything, just because I don't even think that we talked about, but is there anything about the new MLB The Show that's interesting that people should know about?
You can play as a woman. A lot of people got mad about that.
You can play as a
bunch
woman.
Of fucking losers.
Shout out Bob Kendrick, because Josh Gibson's in the game. I forgot the list. But Josh Gibson being in the game is cool.
Bob Kendrick, former I can't believe that he came on the podcast. That was one of the coolest episodes we've ever done.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was an awesome episode.
He's doing the narration for the they have a Negro League series that they're doing every year.
Okay, that's cool. I'm glad that they brought that back.
I always love respect to fellow Gibsons, you know. Just by last name, not like related, obviously.
Yeah, we got to get this is our thing to get you on way more often, because we are not getting people on as often as we should.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. So, E's on. We're going to be talking a lot about Rays spring training, as we have over these last couple episodes that we've done. There's some exciting things going on, mainly that the breakout rosters, or I guess the breakout series rosters, were done for the Rays. So if you guys don't know what that is, basically every team in Major League Baseball is putting together a roster of some of their best minor league players to face off against other teams' rosters of minor league guys. And they're going to go at it during spring training. So some of the notable names that are in there are Jackson Holliday, Paul Skenes, pretty sure Dylan Cruz is in there from the Nats. A number of those guys that are going to be playing in those things. And the Rays have a bunch of guys, too, who we're going to talk about in just a second. So that's going to be happening next week. We're going to talk about that. We're also, since this pod is coming out before it's going to happen, we're going to be previewing the Dominican series that's going to be happening between the Rays and the Red Sox. They're going to be playing in Santo Domingo this weekend, two-game set, which should be really, really cool. I know the Rays are already down there. Topkin's already down there.
Oh, yeah.
Should be a really, really cool time, I know. The Rays have plenty of representation on the Dominican side, as do the Red Sox, because if I'm not mistaken, Rafi's from the DR, right? Rafi Devers?
Devers, Brian Bale, who else?
And then I know for the Rays, obviously the big two would be Junior and Jose Siri, which I know they've featured a lot.
They've marketed Siri pretty heavily.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's really, really cool.
It looks cool as fuck.
Yes, yes. No, it should definitely be a cool time. So we'll talk about all of that. I know that there's some other Rays news that we're going to discuss, but I think as we started off with the last podcast, because it seems like these guys just don't seem to find ways to quit. Once again, USF men's basketball seems to be on top of the college basketball world. They're going off. They are outright AAC regular season champions, getting the number one seed going into the AAC tournament. They are now 73 in net, which is massive, because I know a lot of people have been freaking out about them trying to get an at-large bid.
Yeah, shut up, you net nerds. Eat shit.
They're working their way up. They're working their way up.
Exactly.
Important thing.
After we win the tournament, it won't matter. Alex.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I think
yeah,
it's
I know.
Fun. It's been fun to watch them rise up the net rankings.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's funny because guess who they're just behind? Take a wild guess.
I saw it the other day. I know
I'm
who
showing
it is.
You.
Oh, it's Maryland?
Yeah, it's Maryland.
That's hilarious. We gotta get this on. Dude, I wasn't even looking.
What a coincidence.
Yes, yeah, and Maryland sucks this year, so
yeah,
USF could be above Maryland, but
yeah, we cut the Nets the other day, our first regular season.
You were at that game, no?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Yeah, that was.
I saw them cut the Nets. I saw the confetti. I never thought I'd see confetti in the Yuengling Center, honestly, very much.
Same.
So
like they, I'm 27. I don't think. No, the last time USF basketball was good.
2012, I think, is when they went to the second round of the tournament.
Yeah, that. And you guys know who Seth Greenberg is? He does like the bracketology.
Yes.
He used to coach at USF, and then they let him go. That's how he wound up at ESPN.
Yeah, I found that out.
Times that I've known USF being good at basketball.
I found that out, and I had no clue. I was like, wait, what? That's Seth Greenberg?
Yeah, that's a crazy connection right there.
But yeah, USF is really, 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 really good right now in men's basketball. Yeah. They're playing well. They're playing together. Amir Abdur Rahim has been – he's been him.
Yeah.
Quite literally. So,
and gave a very emotional speech after the game to his to Selton Miguel, one of the seniors on USF. It was a very touching moment. I encourage a lot of Bulls fans to go watch it, or if you're just a fan of college basketball in general.
Yes.
And how it kind of molds, how he said it molds boys into men. Yeah, you should definitely give that speech a watch because it was great. Great post game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this team is definitely
and a third sellout for the Yuengling Center, third straight sellout. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, this team's definitely grown a lot, which is awesome. The other thing I'll say before we get into race stuff, the University of Tampa Spartans baseball finally lost a game, which is notable because they were 17-0. They set a program record, and I shit you not, they had a run differential of +158 through 17 games. That is an average margin of winning of like 9.3 or 9.4 runs per game.
Who finally did them in?
I forget who they were. It was Seton Hill, I think. They were ranked 11th in the country in D2. So it's not like they lost to some scrub, but Tampa baseball has been a wagon, and they deserve more credit, and I will give them more credit. Because the fact that they started out the season +158 in run differential is one of the craziest stats I've ever heard in my life. So they're going to keep continuing to be good, and it's awesome to see, and we're all here for Tampa Bay supremacy. Going into Rays talk now. So spring training has been going on, like I mentioned. A lot of stuff going on with the Rays. I know we talked pre-pod about Brendan McKay. He's made his return back to the mound. Uesawa has finally gotten some outings. He's been off and on. Ryan Pepio's gotten some outings. He's been off and on. Ahmed Rosario's basically the second coming of Jesus. Apparently, he turned down a $4 million offer to go to the Yankees and instead took the lesser offer to go to the Rays, which I think is so funny.
That's trust in the system right there. I love
He's
a guy
trusted.
Like that.
That is a man who trusts the process.
Yeah,
Paul Skeens got demoted to the minors because of Ahmed Rosario.
Notable boyfriend of Livy Dunn, I like to call him. Or Paul Schemes.
Yeah, there's a lot of
more like Paul Schemes. Just kidding.
Schemes. Well, I guess Ahmed Rosario's scheme was to hit a home run off of Paul Skeens. So
yeah,
it worked out. But since we haven't had you on in a while, you've been able to watch the first couple weeks of spring training. How have you thought about some of the new guys? How have you thought about some of the returning guys, some of the guys that we haven't seen in a while? How have you thought about how things have gone so far?
With this season, with the young guys taking over, that's how I'm viewing it. It feels like 2018 all over again. Like, we're going into a year where you're leaning on the young guys more.
Mm-hmm.
They have a track record of being good. Like, you got Jonathan Aranda, he had a 9-something OPS in Durham. You have a good Curtis Meade. Josh Lowe proved himself last year. You've got Taj Bradley bouncing back. He's topping out at 99 in spring training. He's he looks good. Yeah, he looks good. I'm really curious to see how they do once the calendar turns to March 28th and you got lights and you got opening day fanfare. How does this Rays team respond? Because since 2019, they haven't. What's the lowest win total? 86.
Yeah, 22? Excluding the COVID year.
Excluding the COVID year, right? Yeah. And even though they went 40 and 20, so it's. Yeah. I'm really excited to see what they do. Like I'm not holding that much expectation on them this year. I just want to see them play because now they're all getting their opportunities, and you know it's time to see what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Gibby, how have you felt about, I guess, stuff that you've seen since the last time we potted?
I definitely like Ahmad Rosario a lot more. I mean, I was unsure about him because, you know, I haven't seen much of him, but I think he's proven himself quite well in the first few weeks of spring training we've had here. Let's see. What else? Yeah, offense looking a lot more stacked. I like the velo from Taj. I mean, that's kind of something we're kind of lacking in our starting pitching right now is not the highest velos there without McClanahan and other injuries. So having a guy who's reaching that higher velocity instead of like, you know, the Zach Eflin 93 type that we kind of got stirring around. And then like, I don't know, Sabali's like maybe 97, right? 96.
No, Sabali's in the low to mid 90s.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's just like Eflin. Okay. So yeah. Yeah, having some velo, getting Taj some velo, getting up there is very important, especially for early in the season when he's covering for a lot of guys who are going to be coming back soon. So,
yep.
Very, very good so far.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very, very high on Taj now after seeing it. I know it was only one start, but he looked really, really good, which is exciting for me because hopefully that year of experience will allow him to be more calm, cool, and collected on the mound, which I think is just going to be a big positive for us. Excited about what I saw at Aaron Civale, not going to lie. I had high hopes for him, I think because of the fact that he overperformed to start out the 2023 season and then slowly regressed as he kind of got himself used to pitching on the Rays. And you guys can chime in about it, but I'm just concerned. I mean, he looks thicker, which I don't know if that's, I know the mass equals gas thing, but then like Lindsay gave up like 40 bombs last year. So, you know, I guess it works to a certain extent.
There's a balance.
Yeah, there's a balance, but I'm a little bit concerned. I'm just hoping that he gets everything out in spring training, but I don't know if there is room to be concerned about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran guy. I like Civale. I think he'll have a bounce back. I don't know. The Rays always seem to be able to get pitchers back on track until there's some unexplainable injury.
Yeah, it's true. What were your thoughts about Civale last year? And then I don't know how much that changed based on that one spring start.
I think we can, especially on this roster, I think we can give him veteran status. I just think he's working on stuff. I think I would weigh his last two or three spring starts going into the season. I would weigh those a little bit more. Like if he's getting two, three times through the order and he's still getting blown up, then I have cause for concern. But
yeah,
it's spring. You know, we know he spins the ball a lot. It could be a field thing. It could be the uniforms. I don't know. But
I mean the uniforms are pretty
bad.
He
has enough of a track record to know.
You mean the lingerie?
No comment.
You got me. I feel like he has a big enough track record to know what he is and what to expect of him. I mean, in this rotation, you know, I would say he's a three. We know going in he would be like a three. He'd supplement the two rotation, give us some innings. So let's see where he goes. Like we're half. I think today is the halfway mark through spring training, so we got 3 weeks to go. So we'll see. He's got three more starts until the season goes. So see if he works out some stuff and then go from there. I trust Kyle Snyder over anything.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I'm very much of the mindset that, like, you know, again, as I said, it was just his first start, so I'm not trying to put that much into it. It's more of just I'm afraid of the deep counts. I really don't want him to try to keep working deep counts. And I hope it's just him trying to work through stuff because I mean, in terms of him working deep into games, he only got into the sixth inning once, or like he only got through six innings once, which is definitely cause for concern considering that I looked at the first, I guess his starts in Cleveland, and I think he worked into the seventh inning or got at least six innings done like seven or eight times, and then he only did it once with the Rays. So I'm just hoping that it was more of just a blip of what happened last year, not more than that.
And I mean, I bet for any MLB veteran, it's probably hard to almost a little hard to take your first spring training start like seriously, just because
that's a good point. That is a really
been there, and like you're not a rookie, so you're not feeling about it the same way how they're giving it their you're giving it your 100% when like you're trying to make the team or like situations, you know,
like a rookie or a non-roster guy,
yeah.
We know what Savali's role is.
No, that's definitely true. And I mean, hey, we've gotten a lot of guys so far, like non-roster guys who have showed up. I'm really impressed by what Jake Mangum has done. I know that he's definitely fighting for a spot. And maybe this is just because I'm still down in Mississippi, so I have that Mississippi State, a little bit of Mississippi State bias. But it is cool to see because I know like the people down here love to see state guys do well. Trying to make the show in some way, and he still hasn't made it. So I think that out of any team that he's been on so far, I think the Rays are going to give him his best shot of making it. But I mean, it seems like there's been a lot of decent performances from guys. It sucks because Yu Chang got hurt like a week and a half in his spring training, and I was really hoping to see him do well because I know that we loved him when he was on the Rays. I know maybe wasn't the highest performer offensively, but still a fun guy to watch. It just seems like a lot of, just seems like a lot of guys working through stuff right now. And we've definitely seen some guys show a lot of success, guys like Rosario, among others. So definitely, some positives to work off there. From there, let's get into this, where the heck is it at? I'm trying to find it. The spring breakout rosters for the Rays. So again, like I said, every team is going to have like a number or like a roster of prospects that are going to go play other prospect rosters. Among the players that are included for the Rays, Junior is not one of them, but they have a number of other guys who are top 10 guys. So among those include Carson Williams, Xavier Isaac, Braden Taylor, Adrian Santana. Dominic Keegan's also there, top 15 guys. We have Trey Morgan, Chandler Simpson, top 20 guys, Willie Vasquez, Colton Ledbetter, and Trevor Martin. So a number of guys that are included here. I know Shane Sasaki's here, former guest on the pod.
Yo, that's crazy.
Keyshawn Askew's here, Cooper Kinney, Drew Baker. I mean, there's a number of guys that are on the roster. Have either of you gotten a chance to look at it, and do you have any opinions on it?
I looked at it a little bit. I'm just excited to see Chandler Simpson run wild. Like he stole 80 bags last year, which is
94.
94. Okay. Even better. Like I just want to see him run wild. I gotta look at the roster again, but I'm excited about Chandler Simpson. Trey Morgan had one of, if not the best play that I've ever seen a first baseman make last year when he was at LSU. He slid in the right field, came up and during his sliding motion, came up on one foot and threw out a guy at second base that was rounding because the ball got, was an off throw. I gotta find the video, but I'm excited for him.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Auer is another guy. He did well in the Arizona Fall League that I'm looking forward to seeing. So it'll be fun. I'm excited that MLB's, diving into the prospects, going into that realm, and they get to showcase them.
Yeah. Gibby, any guys that have piqued your interest of the guys that are on the roster?
Yeah, guys like Xavier Isaac, just like Carson Williams. I'm trying to think who else.
Oh, by the way.
And obviously Shane Sasaki. I mean, that's cool as fuck.
We love like, Shane.
We fucking love you, dude.
Shane's the best. I love that, man. Yo, I have a theory, and it's a proven theory, at least to an extent. Carson Williams has the exact same facial expression every time someone takes a photo of him. I've seen him only once smile with teeth. He has the same.
He might be packing those zins. You just never know.
No, he's not. No, I don't know if he's a zen guy. I'm not gonna.
I'm not gonna assume anything.
I'm not gonna assume anything. But I mean, literally, he has the same facial expression on so many things, and I
not a video podcast, but I'm doing it right now.
It's kind of similar. Yeah. No, he's very just like he's got like a smirk thing, but it's just funny that it's the same thing. I know I tweeted out about it. I'm trying to find the tweet because it's really really good. Oh man, I forget where it is. So it should be an exciting thing. I don't know who the Rays are playing. I would need to go look through the spring breakout schedule. I think they're playing the Twins, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds about right. They're right up the road.
Yeah, here, let me go check this to make sure. Yeah, Twins on the 16th. Yep. So they're playing in Fort Myers on the 16th.
Next Saturday. Okay.
Yeah, among other, or I guess among other.
I have to go to that.
Interesting ones. We have the Orioles and Pirates are going to be playing in Bradenton. Who are some other big minor league systems? Marlins are playing the Cardinals in Jupiter because they share the same stadium. Let's see what else we got here. Cincinnati's hosting Texas. The White Sox are Texas is hosting Cincinnati. The Cubs are hosting the White Sox. Shout out Matt Shaw, who is an absolute goat. And he also went to Maryland, so it makes it better. But he's like actually legit, and I'm very, very excited to see him. Anyone else? I mean, you guys can look it up. Everything's on the MLB website. So make sure to check it out there. There's plenty of stuff there. Before we get into the talking about the Dominican series, we got some news from one Mike Zunino that he was retiring, which kind of came as a shock because he had played for, I mean, he was only like 32 or 33. But I mean, were you guys shocked to see that Big Z was retiring?
I mean, not necessarily, but I am going to miss my dude, Big Z, dude. He was killer on that team and on this team in 21. I mean, helped us out a lot more than what the fucking number, the first three numbers in baseball will show you, you know, like he was more than his average, you know, worth more than that. So, yeah, love Zunino. He was great defensively too, which I'm kind of missing right now. So kind of a shame, but it's good. I think Pinto is going to step up, and with Mejia back, I'm not sure if that's changed at all. I don't want to say anything, but
probably not. He's just here. I mean, it's cool that Frankie's back, but
yeah.
I don't really think much is going to change.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's going to be Pinto most of the season, but. Yeah,
him and Alex Jackson, but I'm kind of bummed that you know Papa Mike is gone. Like he was an influential Ray. Like he's the second Rays catcher to be an All Star, homer in the game.
Yeah,
he's got the one picture of him doing the face, like too, you know, hiding his lips.
He has like that same face.
Yes. The meme. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good meme.
Yes. He was a fun Ray to watch, man. I know he had his ups and downs, but boy, he can hit a baseball far. Like, I think he's...
Yeah, whenever there's a Big Z home run, you just felt like you were going to win automatically.
Right. I think he's...
Alex, remember when we went to spring training and I said there was only two outcomes in the Mike Zunino at bat, and it was home run or strikeout? And
then, like, did he hit a homer?
It was like a home run the next pitch. It was crazy.
That was a good vibe.
And I was like, home run, 10%, let's go.
Yeah, that was fun.
I think he's still top five in home run distance at the Trop by a Ray. I think he had one that went like...
I believe he's got the furthest home run by a Ray in the Trop. It's like 470.
Yeah.
No, it's... What? Oh, yeah. For a Ray. Okay. I was about to say, Prince Fielder came in here one time and I saw that ball.
That ball was stepped on. Like
that ball was...
It hit the B ring and it still felt like it was going up.
It's absolutely insane.
I mean, just Lina, just yeah, that. Who else? I saw Nelson Cruz hit one in the party deck when he was with Seattle.
Yeah. Was that the one that hit the banner, or was that not the one that hit the banner?
No, that was Ozuna That was another one that was a bomb. It was a,
one of those hit the banner. I forgot who it was. It was there's too many people hitting the ball too far.
No, yeah, Nelson Cruz hit one in the party deck. Ozuna hit one off a banner. Garcia hit one off a banner. Who else hit one off a banner? There's some
notable banner hits.
Yeah,
of race history.
There's a lot of dudes hitting a lot of balls very, very far. And this is without.
I'd say so.
Yeah, I mean, this is without, you know, metal bats or anything like that. It's
but rip Big Z, honestly. I miss him.
It sucks that he's gone, but he definitely provided a lot of great moments for the Rays. So I think that's the most important thing. So let's talk about this Dominican series, because I know that it's happening. I don't really know much about it more than just it's happening. I believe that this is the second time, at least in recent memory, that the Rays have done something like this, because the other one was when they went to Cuba in 2016, played the Cuban national team at the, I don't even know what the stadium was, but it was in
it was in Cuba.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in Havana.
Yes.
Yeah, so this one is going to be in Santo Domingo. Like I said, there's plenty of representation on both the Rays and the Red Sox when it comes to guys from the Dominican. You probably know way more about this than us, just because you're more well connected to the team than us. But I mean, what sense have you gotten from those around the team in terms of just anticipation for this?
Really, think it's excitement for the staff and the players. Really, it breaks up the monotony of spring training. It's right in the middle of spring, because you've done 3 weeks. Now you got three more leading up to opening day. I know they're excited. It should be fun. It's another thing of making baseball the international game that it is. Like I want to say 2003 or 2004, we played the Yankees for opening day in Japan. I still remember that. It's still a pretty cool core memory for me. So anytime the Rays play internationally, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I know Randy's going to be present.
Oh yeah,
like in anything international, I feel like the dude just shows up.
Oh yeah,
no matter what. So there will be fireworks for sure for him. I mean, so it's gonna be just fun to watch and seeing all our boys back. I mean, Yandy Diaz cranked a home run the other day. I forgot who was on.
Rodon.
It was Rodon. Yeah. It was a Yankees game. That was a sick hit. Yeah,
I think they're gonna put on a show for sure. Especially Junior, he's from there.
Yeah, no, I mean him and Jose are definitely. I mean, I can't imagine them not putting on a show.
But yeah, in series,
Jose is gonna be fun to see.
Series of Winter League legend there. So
I feel like we're gonna see some crazy swings. Some
guys are just gonna swing out of their shoes.
Oh, they're gonna swing out of their shoes, dude.
That's gonna be fun. Yeah, I think are going to be on. So they're going to be broadcasting on Rays Radio. I think they're going to be on MLB Network, and I think NESN is what I saw. I know they're definitely going to be on MLB Network, which I would assume also means that they're going to be on the MLB, you know, MLB TV if you guys have it. Or if you're a Team Bubble subscriber, you're just waiting until the free one comes, which is me. So I love it.
I wish. I get it with the season membership, though, so that's good.
Yeah, so I believe that is what that is. I believe that is when or how those games are going to be broadcasted. Wish they would be broadcasted somewhere else, because not everyone has MLB TV. Or sorry, MLB Network, and also not everyone has MLB TV. So, but yeah, I mean, it should be fun. There should be plenty of highlights for it, which should be also great. So definitely expecting a lot of good vibes there. Let's see, other Tampa Bay news. Today is International Women's Day. We've had a number of great, great female contributors on this. Bree, Taylor, Amita. I mean, and we've, you know, people like Trisha and so many others that are, you know, working in the business in Tampa Bay and just across sports. It's awesome to see. Hopefully the pathway for women in sports will continue to be paved. It's definitely really, really cool to see. Awesome that we get to celebrate them today. Mike Evans reached an agreement, an extension
Let's
with the
fucking
Bucks.
go.
I think I don't know how many people saw that coming, but I assume pretty much everyone
no,
saw
it. Because actually it was kind of unexpected, because he was like, I'm gonna go test the market, and then a day later signed the contract.
He was like, nah fam, I'm good.
But I guess the way he explained it is that he just had a conversation with his wife, and I mean, I guess that was in her best interest, and it was good on him to, you know, make whatever sacrifice monetarily he made to stay here, be our franchise guy. I mean, he's probably the best Bucks offensive player of all time. I mean, other than like maybe Mike Allstott.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
like, you know, there's a shorter window of Mike Allstott's dominance. Mike Evans has been dominant since the day he got here, since the day Josh McCown threw him suicide balls. Like, in Mike Evans' first year, he probably should have, I don't know, like,
he's had a lot of QBs over his career. That's an
it was bad. He was they were like putting him in the slot and making him run like ins right in the middle of the field, dude. It's especially in like 2013 ball when he was playing. Yeah.
Mike
Probably 2012.
Mike Evans is the lone survivor of the fuck it, the Jameis Winston fuck it, somebody's down there era.
Yeah. 30 for 30.
Yes.
30-30.
He is the
I'm telling you, that's still the craziest stat in NFL history. No
that,
one can be that bad and that
has
good at
to
the
be
same
a,
time.
That season has to be a documentary, dude. They actually
that's,
have to
that's
do an ESPN documentary.
Shit.
It's
they
a
got
great
the right
season.
They got the right guy to break it down because Jameis can talk.
Yes.
I watched every game of 2019. That was one of my favorite seasons of football I've ever watched from one team.
I was he's a weird guy, but hey, they made it work.
Dude, fuck it. Mike's down there somewhere.
And you know, good for Mike getting his bag. Well deserved considering.
Got Mike and Chris too. So.
Yeah, in my opinion, he's gonna be a first
insane.
Ballot Hall of Famer. He'll probably
solidify
that first Ballot Hall of Fame status. But that's awesome to see. Another thing is the St. Pete Grand Prix is gonna be happening this weekend for those who are IndyCar fans. In my opinion, the coolest circuit in all of IndyCar
it's so cool. You gotta go if you're a local, dude. It's kind of getting more pricey than it has been in years past, but you definitely find a chance to go if you can find like some cheap tickets and I don't know, some
it's a vibe.
It's big.
Yeah,
so
it is a tradition in St. Pete that has been going on quite a bit now. So happy to see it back. It should be exciting. I believe it'll be on NBC because I think all IndyCar races are on NBC. Let's see. Oh, we didn't mention. So the Rays did make their first cuts of Major League Camp. So Evan Edwards, Dominic Keegan, Kenny Piper, Mason Montgomery, Nathan Wiles, and Logan Workman have all been reassigned to minor league camp. There's currently 71 players active in Major League Camp, and that'll slowly be reduced over the next couple of weeks as we get into the season or get close to the season. You know, there is one more thing I wanted to discuss. It's that Joey Votto signed a non-roster deal with the Blue Jays, which I know isn't important in that sense, but the fact that
it's important for baseball.
It's important for baseball, and he got to go back to Canada.
It's him and Daniel Vogelback for the left-handed bench spot.
Oh God.
Pick your poison. Is Joey Votto still bangs or Danny Burgers? Pick your poison.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
But Joey Votto finally gets to represent his nation. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, that's so.
I mean, he has so much respect as a Canadian that like the Toronto team felt obligated to get him.
Right.
Like
I'm curious to see what number he wears because he can't wear 19 because it's retired by Jose Bautista. I don't know what number he's gonna wear.
Oh, that's true. Maybe they'll unretire it because Joey Votto's better.
Dude, he should just ask
him. Joey Bats, you're not Canadian. Get out of here.
Dude, honestly, if someone retired my number and they asked me, dude, I'd let him use it. That's why that one kid's using 15 at Florida, the one quarterback. He asked Tim Tebow, and Tim Tebow blessed him.
I think.
Was that
Paul O'Neill let Todd Frazier wear 21.
Oh, that's
thing. So that was his boyhood idol. So that's why he always wore 21 everywhere.
Oh, that's cool.
He let him wear it.
Cool. I like that.
I think he let him wear it, if I'm not mistaken. He either wore 21 or 29, or he asked to wear 21 and they didn't give it to him. Either way, he at least asked.
Those are good vibes. I like that. Those are good vibes for sure. I'm definitely here for that. Well, I think that we've exhausted literally everything to talk about. With that being said, we're going to conclude things on this latest episode of Raise the Roof. Thank you guys so much. E, thank you so much for coming on. We want to make sure that you get the floor to be able to, you know, promote all your socials, everything going on, because I know you also got Twitch. So where can people find you at on social media and everywhere else?
All platforms, Swellin727. And I'm once
keeps it keeps it simple. I love that.
I'll be Swellin pretty active once the season
727. Yeah. God, that just rolls off the tongue.
It does, right?
Yeah, it's a good account. And we'll be sure to get E on more podcasts coming up and get him around more. So definitely look out for that. As far as what we got going on, make sure to support us through social media, Raise the Roof TV on both Twitter and Instagram. We're closing in on 7,000 followers on Twitter and 1,000 followers on Instagram, which, you know, not as many on Instagram, but we're taking a lot of strides there, which is really, really great to see. So thank you guys for the support on both fronts. Make sure to support us through our affiliate links. We still got In the Clutch and SeatGeek, both all caps, Raise the Roof will get you $20 off the first SeatGeek purchase or 10% off any In the Clutch order. And then we have our new discount with 1771 Designs, which again, if you guys haven't used them, local company, really, really great guy, a lot of cool stuff and cool designs coming from there. It's the same code, Raise the Roof, but the R, the T, and the R are capitalized. Everything else is lowercase. That'll get you 15% off at checkout. And then for the podcast, continue to support us as you guys have been. Subscribe, follow us if you're on Spotify. Make sure to leave us a review. Make sure to turn on your post notifications to listen to us whenever we drop new episodes, because hopefully we'll have some more coming out as the season comes around. I know we're going to have some big special guests coming up. I know we've teased them a little bit coming up, but we're going to have some big special guests in these next few episodes coming into the season. So stay tuned for that. So with that being said, thanks so much for listening. And as always, raise up,
baby.